The Thundering Herd with Colin Cowherd podcast is presented by Vizio, America's number one HD TV company. We're revolutionizing how you watch, listen, and live. At Vizio, we find a better way and make it for everyone.
This is the Thundering Herd on ESPNRadio.com. Now,
Gunga Dan living the is.
The Thundering Herd with Colin Cowherd.
It's incredible.
On ESPNRadio.com.
I want you to think about this. And, you know, a lot of people who email or call the radio show are the same guys every day. So they're already formulating what I'm going to say before I say it. I'm asking everybody in the audience to just listen for 3 minutes before you respond. And don't think of a predictable response. I want you to think big. Take a deep breath. Maybe wait 5 minutes. Phil Jackson of the Lakers has won 10 NBA titles. All of them with a unique offense, the triangle. Yet nobody over that time has ever tried to duplicate it. Nobody rips it off. It's Phil's. It's not that intricate. I mean, let's be honest here. Dennis Rodman mastered it. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. Dennis Rodman mastered it. Nobody in the NBA copies it. Before you send that, oh, it was all about Kobe and Jordan, move on, okay? He won a championship in the CBA. Del Harris couldn't win with Shaq and Kobe. Either could Rudy. Okay, let's move on. Phil Jackson has mastered an offense. Nobody's duplicated it. Nobody's tried. Nobody even cares. It's Phil's. Yet in the NFL, we have the Wildcat offense, which is certainly not close to delivering the results of the triangle offense. Yet the Wildcat offense, almost everybody in the NFL has got Wildcat plays. Everybody's ripping it off. Gotta have the Wildcat. Gotta have it in the playbook. Gotta have it in the playbook. Oh, gotta have it. The Dolphins used it last night to beat the Jets. Why would that be? Now think about that. Why would the NBA have an offense that has won 10 NBA titles? And don't tell me that it's all players. Doug Collins couldn't win with MJ and Pippen. Del Harris couldn't win with Kobe and Shaq. Everywhere Phil goes, that puppy works. Nobody's ripped it off. Nobody even tries. Similarly, in college football, Urban Meyer has a flex offense. He's going to win this year probably his third national championship in 4 years. Nobody's ripping it off. It's Urban's. People steal little bits and pieces, but it's pretty much Florida's. So why in the NFL, with an offense that's not nearly as successful as the triangle, not nearly as successful as Urban Meyer's flex, why would everybody be so enamored with the Wildcat? I have a theory on this, and you'll think it's ridiculous, but here it is. NFL coaching pensions are staggering. Oh, they're much better than the players. You stay in the league for 10, 15 years, you are set for life. I don't care how rich a guy is. Belichick, Andy Reid, Tom Coughlin. If I tell you, stay in the league 15 years, you'll get 25 grand a month for the rest of your life. You'd want it, I'd want it, Trump would want it. NFL coaching pensions are so huge that all these NFL coaches are protecting their arse and putting the Wildcat in, just like the same reason companies create websites even when they don't update them, so you don't look like a dinosaur, so your shareholders can't come to you. You don't even have a web presence. Well, yes, I do. I have a web presence. Even if you don't update it, you don't seem like a dinosaur. Is that, and this is my theory, the coaching pensions in the NFL are so tremendously valuable that people are putting in the Wildcat just to their offense to save their butt. So if their owner comes, how come you don't have that? Oh, we do. It's in the playbook. I watched Monday Night Football last night. That Wildcat, oh, we got it. Come on, I'll show you. We got like four Wildcat plays. Yet nobody rips off the flex. Nobody rips off the triangle offense. I'm not saying I'm right, but I can't be that wrong. These coaches hate this offense. Rex Ryan called it gimmicky in college. He hates it. Yet everybody's got a plan in their playbook. They're all protecting their butts. Why do you think the NFL is called the copycat league? Because they're all protecting the pot of gold, the pension at the end. There is no pension in the NBA like the NFL pension. There is no pension for college football like the NFL pension. That the NFL pension is so humongous among coaches, there's this pot of gold at the end if you can stay in the league for 15 years. So like any CEO who knows he'll never make that much money, you put up a website, even if it doesn't create any interest or revenue, just so nobody can call you a dinosaur. Just so you don't seem outdated. That's my theory on it. I can be completely wrong. I don't think I am. But it is unbelievable in the NFL. Anytime there's a wrinkle to an offense, everybody rips it off. They don't in the NBA. They don't in hockey. They don't in college basketball. They don't in college football. They don't in high school sports. You'll see high schools that have been running the same offense for 40 years. You'll see in colleges, West Virginia. You'll see college coaches. Nebraska ran the same offense for 40 years. So did Oklahoma. They didn't rip anybody off. USC runs the same offense under Pete Keller every year. They don't add plays. It's the same offense for 7 years. But in the NFL, somebody creates something clever, everybody puts it in their playbook to protect their tookus. That's just my theory. Whoa! Braylon Edwards looked like money last night in his first game, and I'm getting some angry emails today. I had predicted that Braylon Edwards would make a huge impact with the New York Jets, and he would do it last night. I said on Sports Nation, I said on this show, he's not a quarterback. He's got to run 6 or 7 routes. Give him a playbook for 3 days. He will make an impact for the Jets against the Dolphins, and he did. He was fantastic. And over time, Braylon Edwards is going to be a huge acquisition for the New York Jets. And it's interesting because he died with the Browns. And Brown fans are not emailing this morning. They don't feel very good about themselves because they emailed me for weeks in Ohio saying, Braylon stinks, he's no good. And I said, no, you stink, and he's just an uninspired employee. If you put him in a fresh environment, he's going to be great, and he was. And, you know, everybody now, I got an email from a guy named William. He said, so instead of criticizing Braylon Edwards for jaking it in Cleveland for a year and a half, you praise him when he gets traded and puts out some effort. Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. If you are listening to my show and you are a super talented sales guy, let's say you're in pharmaceutical sales. You work for a good company or you'd like to work for a good company. You don't work for Pfizer. But you don't work for a very good company. The product stinks and your boss is an idiot. And you're a sales guy who has succeeded all your life in sales. Are you selfish for wanting to get out? Are you really dumb for having a subpar quarter so they get rid of you and you can get out of your contract? If I'm a talented wide receiver and I look at Cleveland's quarterbacks and I know I have 6 years to be in the physical peak of my career and I can go to the Jets with a good young quarterback, a competitive team, a good vibe, that all run patterns, beat people down the field, and what do you know? The ball will be there waiting for me. Am I really a selfish guy? Is Braylon really selfish for wanting to get out of Cleveland, a historically laughable franchise, with maybe the two worst starting quarterbacks in the league? Is he really selfish? Are you selfish as a sales guy for underperforming or weaseling your way out of work? Can I tell you a story? Let me tell you a story. I lied to get out of a contract. I've never told this story. I worked out of college. I got a job in Las Vegas. And from Las Vegas, I got a job in Tampa. And from Tampa, I got a job in the Pacific Northwest. And then from there, I got a job at ESPN. And when I had my job, and I've enjoyed every place I've been except Tampa. The management was awful. So I go to Tampa and I'd had a very nice first job out of college, Vegas, NBC sports director, making 6 figures, early 20s, living a huge life. I mean, just over my skis. I get a job in Tampa. That's the evolution of my career. Then I'll go to a major market. Tampa's kind of major. So I go to Tampa. The GM, Dave Tabimbo, tells us don't park cars in front of the station, but parks his Porsche there where it gets waxed on a daily basis. The news director is British, wonderful man, never been a news director. Our 5 o'clock news, I was there a year and a half. By the end of my stay, we were doing the 5 o'clock news on a leather couch. It was dreadful. So I had to get out of here. Now the station's much better today. It was Channel 13 in Tampa. It was so poorly managed. I was misused. The station was poorly run. It no longer is. So I went for a vacation. I went for a job interview out in the Pacific Northwest. And I clearly wanted to get out of there. So I had this thing in my contract that said if Seattle offered me a job, I could leave for one market because I was from Seattle. I could leave for Seattle. So I went and I got a job offer, a really good job offer in Portland. They were going to let me do talk radio. I could do anything I wanted. I was going down in market, so I had a lot of leverage. They let me do anything I wanted to. So I was doing talk radio, making a great living. It was just a great life, great city. So, but I couldn't get out of my Tampa contract. I couldn't get out of it for Portland. I could get out of it for Seattle. So I'm flying back to Tampa, a city I don't like, for bosses I don't like, for people who I don't respect, for a mismanaged, poorly run organization. I'm Braylon Edwards. So when I was in Portland, they had this little cable thing. Like they had their station, but it's very hot now. You have these little, they had like a Northwest news channel. And the address was Seattle. So I took the stationery. And I said, yeah, I'm going to work in Portland, but I'm going to commute to Seattle. And you know, here's the company. It's you look at the address, Seattle, Washington. So I somehow convinced them that I would be doing some reports that would end up on Seattle TV. And that was my out. Made it up. Because I worked at a place so poorly run. I have a limited time to enjoy my life. I was getting offers in other markets. I didn't like the city I lived in or the people I worked for. I mean, when you hate your job, you hate your city. It's just a miserable place. And I will defend always talented people, and for no other reason than I've lived through it, and maybe that's selfish. I will defend talented people forever to escape from horrible work environments. And for Braylon Edwards to go from Brady Quinn and Derek Anderson to Mark Sanchez, a team with legit running backs, good offensive line, excellent defense, incredible chemistry, great vibe, beating the Patriots. You're darn right. He may have tanked it in Cleveland. Good for him. Just like Randy Moss did the same in Oakland. Look where it got him. The New England Patriots. Whoa! He's the best running back in the NFL, and he was virtually the day he broke into the NFL, the Vikings' Adrian Peterson via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. He's coming out with a DVD called All Day with Adrian Peterson, which is hitting stores today. Okay, Adrian, I want to talk about your workout, because obviously we see you in these ads, and you're totally ripped. Like, when you wake up in the morning, I was watching last night, you had Twinkies. Now, generally speaking, how often would you eat fast food or stuff that we consider, like, bad?
Maybe two or three times a week.
Okay, like what, like a Big Mac or something?
You know, maybe like a Big Mac or something. You know, I eat like two or three meals a day, so I actually have someone that, personal chef that cooks for me. Maybe like four times a week or three times a week whenever I need it. But I definitely go to, you know, Burger King or Mickey D's to grab my, you know, my bad food for me from time to time.
Hey, we all do. The difference is you work out a lot more than us. Now, when you say because your body is amazing and your burst and your strength, and it's obviously diet's a big part of it. On a typical day, how many calories do you eat?
Oh. I take in a lot of calories.
What'd you have for breakfast today?
Well, I woke up, had me a nice, you know, Muscle Milk and a nice brownie, two to go with that.
So you did a brownie and Muscle Milk today?
Yeah. Okay. Just something real quick to, you know, get me going. Normally I have like a, you know, nice breakfast sandwich or something, or, you know, a little granola bar snack or something.
Okay. Now you eat better now than you did in college, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Like, college was just brutal, right? You were just like a college kid.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. Whatever. Raising Cane, back in Oklahoma, wherever. Sonic, I was tearing it up.
Yeah, go to Sonic, tear it up. Adrian Peterson joining us. You know, it is interesting. When you are great, and whether it's Kobe Bryant or Albert Pujols, at some point, you were a little kid. And at some point, you were playing, you know, little guy football. When did you realize, Adrian, when did you realize, wow, maybe I could play in the NFL someday?
Oh, from, you know, actually, even before I started playing organized football at the age of seven, you know, I had always dreamed that and looked at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing football with the guys in my neighborhood. I always played with the older guys, was outrunning those guys, was out physical those guys. And, you know, once I started playing organized football and was able to really go up against, you know, the best guys in that area, and I was out there dominating. So, and also I dominated in a big way. Not to sound cocky or anything, but, really out there just fascinating everyone. I really didn't gain my size until my freshman year in high school.
Yeah.
But, you know, I came out the shell fast, at the blocks, I mean.
Yeah. So your freshman year of high school, you sort of blew up physically.
Yeah, physically.
And then everybody, like college football teams, started sending you letters and stuff?
Well, actually, my freshman and my sophomore year, I didn't play. Had a knee injury. So I didn't play football my freshman year. My sophomore year, I transferred to a crosstown school. So I actually just played my junior and my senior year of high school.
How about that? Adrian Peterson joining us. Okay, the Vikings are 5-0. Brett Favre is, you know, he's almost old enough to be your dad. I mean, Brett Favre's like 40-year-old guy. Can you relate to Brett? I mean, is he one of the guys, or does he feel like almost a dad in the locker room, in the huddle?
Oh, man, definitely. He's just like one of the guys, you know. He's down to earth. He fits in well. He definitely don't feel like a grandfather or a dad in the locker room. You know, he's hilarious, got a nice, great personality. And he always keeping smiles on people's face.
Yeah. You know, the schedule coming up for you guys is brutal. Ravens, Steelers, these are really physical teams, and we all know what happens to running backs in this league. They don't play for very long. They get beat up. Do the coaches understand in Minnesota that you can't carry it 30 times a week? Do they understand the season is long? Do you take certain practices less physical? What are they doing to protect you?
Well, as of now, nothing. You know, I come out to practice and practice hard like it's a game. And that's the way I've always approached it. But, you know, here the last couple of games, you know, 15 carries last game. I think maybe like 19, 20 carries the game before.
Mm-hmm.
Just been able to move the ball in so many different ways. Been effective in the past game with Brett right there on the center. And, you know, been able to really take a toll. You know, it's not all about the running game anymore. So
yeah.
With that, it comes, you know, me not getting so many carries, and you know, my body is a lot fresher.
By the way, would you rather carry at 15 or would you rather carry at 25 where you get into a groove?
You know, whatever it takes to get the win. You know, some games I might have to carry 15 times for 60 yards or 70 yards or 120 yards. But whatever it takes to, you know, get that W, I'm all in for it. Some games we might have to run about 25, 30 times to come out with a win. Either way, I'm back there trying to contribute to the win.
The DVD today coming out All Day with Adrian Peterson, hitting stores today. You've been playing football since you were a little kid. Have you ever been on the field with somebody who you think is faster than you?
Someone I think is faster than me.
Go back, look at right now. Are you the fastest guy in the Vikings?
Yes, I am.
Even faster than Percy Harvin?
Yes, and that, you know, that's the argument right now to this day. And, you know, we're trying to set it up, make arrangements. You know, God's willing after the season that, you know, we're going to line up and we're going to run a good 100-meter or a 40-yard dash.
Wow.
Go ahead and sell it. Go ahead and sell it out.
Oh, I don't really think. You're faster than Percy Harvin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And if you ask Percy Harvin, is he faster than me, then he's going to tell you yes, too. I love his mentality.
Yeah. Hey, well, good luck to you All Day with Adrian Peterson. Good luck to you and the Vikes, man.
All right, thanks.
Whoa!
Need your football fix?
And reviewing that.
In the herd.
I don't think there's anybody in that locker room that questioned whether we were going to come out on top.
The New York Jets.
All right, tough loss to the Dolphins. Braylon Edwards looked very good in his debut. Larry Hardesty covers the Jets, 1050 ESPN Radio New York. Okay, let's go, before we get to Braylon Edwards, let's go to Mark Sanchez. Now, we've seen Mark be very good. We've seen him struggle in New Orleans. We saw him last night. What did you give him as a grade last night?
Well, I gave him a B as a grade last night, Colin. I thought he played well. He didn't turn the football over. That was a good thing. He when he was about to be sacked, he went down. There was a better job of ball security, even when he went on the quarterback sneak. So I would give him a B. He underthrew a couple of guys, but pretty much he bounced back well against that loss against New Orleans.
Okay, let's look at Braylon Edwards. It would seem that if he was that good last night, he's going to be even more important later in the season. It seems like the Jets want to make Braylon a big part of this offense.
Well, there's no question they do, and you saw a little bit of what he can do when he can hold on to the football, Colin, as he did last night. Great play near the end for a touchdown, which I thought was a touchdown, but it was taken away. Thomas Jones had to run it in. A couple of key possessions that he got them, but I think he will eventually open up. We saw David Clowney get some extra yardage last night. We saw Jericho Kotze. When he's healthy, that's going to help him. And eventually Dustin Keller, who's been missing in action so far in the offense the past couple weeks.
By the way, Rex Ryan was kind of taking shots at the Wildcat. He called it gimmicky, and I haven't seen it since college. Don't you think part of that, though, is he's frustrated because he couldn't stop it?
Well, I think so. I mean, he had some success when he was with Baltimore, and I think you have to give Miami's coaching staff some credit, Colin, because what they did was they did some different wrinkles out of the Wildcat. They had not thrown out of it this season until they did last night. They made some nice cutbacks. Even when the Jets brought up the safeties, then they were able to go deep with it. They caught him in some bad coverages. That's how Ted Ginn got past Darrell Revis, Kerry Rhodes, and Jim Leonard. So give Miami some credit. They made some adjustments to it, and it just simply could not stop it.
Larry, good stuff. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Colin.
College football.
USC Notre Dame this weekend. Bruce Feldman, ESPN the magazine senior writer. Can Charlie Weiss silence his critics, Bruce, if he beats the Trojans?
Yes, if he beats them. I mean, Colin, he's never won a big game. In fact, the closest thing to a really good win he's had is the Bush loss that he had in 2005. This team, you know, we're a little excited about them, but they still haven't beaten a team with a winning record. And it's basically put up or shut up. They can go 10-2, lose to USC, and I don't think anybody would put them in the top 25 just because the wins wouldn't be there.
Yeah. Let's say Alabama, Florida, and it looks likely at this point, get to the SEC championship. And, you know, let's say Alabama loses in a low-scoring game, 13-7, something like that. It would be unprecedented, but if they look like the best two teams in the country, could you have a rematch?
You can, and I think that even though there's temptation for people wanting to say that right after the moment, we had that with Michigan, Ohio State a few years ago. It's just, I think there's too many other factors. I mean, if Texas is undefeated, I don't know how you can take them out. Even honestly, if there's undefeated Big Ten or even a undefeated Big East team, especially if South Florida were to win out, and that would include a win over Miami, I think that would be something that would be tough for people to just say, even if they could do it, I don't think they would do it.
Over the last 5 years, when Bob Stoops first got to Oklahoma, he won all the big games and he beat Texas. Over the last 5 years, he can't win the big games, can't beat Texas, and now Texas wins all its big games and it beats Oklahoma. What has happened in Texas, Oklahoma, last 4 or 5 years, where now Oklahoma is languishing and Texas is surging?
I think it's some of that mindset that Coach Trussell at Ohio State has to deal with and purge from his program, which is after things start to take a couple of bad turns, what's going to happen next? Oh, God, here it comes again. And I think it takes a big effort to get people to write that, and I think it takes a lot of leadership within the team. And right now, I'm not sure that they have that. I mean, their defense is going to have to play great, but their receivers can't drop 10 passes like they did last week and have any prayer to beat Texas this week.
USC Notre Dame, Bruce Feldman, ESPN the magazine senior writer. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Colin.
The Buffalo Bills.
Bills are brutal. T.O. not performing. Jeremy White, WGR 550 in Buffalo. 12 catches all year. Who do we blame? T.O., Trent Edwards, the offensive line? Jeremy, who's getting hit today?
I think you can blame, well, probably everyone, but a lot of it falls on
management, who put together an offensive line that was young, inexperienced, and it looks good to start, but unfortunately they've had a lot of injuries to deal with. And Trent Edwards, at least in my opinion, has been exposed. Edwards does not throw the ball to his targets. He's got the nickname Captain Checkdown around here because that's what we watch, is an offense that is just brutal. 3 points against the Browns at home, and there's a lot of blame to go around. They fired their offensive coordinator before the season, Turk Schoner, and it looked like things were back on track. But Edwards just, he's not having a very good run of it right now.
Now, it was suggested by Adam Schefter of this network that you could get rid of Teal right now and get, you know, some mid-level draft pick and save a lot of money for a franchise that is always looking to cut corners. Is that viable? Would people say buy Teal this morning and be done with it?
It's possible. The one thing about him is that he's kind of fun and at least interesting, which is more than you can say for most of the team right now. So there'd be people that I think we might feel like we were the butt of a joke if Owens came here for 5 weeks and then left and had success somewhere else, because I don't think he's quite what he was, but he's certainly better than what he's put up, because this passing offense is just so terrible. So would it be okay to get a draft pick for him? Probably. There's people around here that would sign off to trade Marshawn Lynch and get whatever you could for him as well. At 1-4, and looking at their schedule, it's hard to figure out when they're going to win again. If you can't beat Cleveland at home after they trade away one of their best weapons, when are you going to win again? We're looking at 2, 3, 4 wins here in Buffalo, so a lot of people, I think, would get behind trading away some of the talented players. But number one on the list of the to-do list for fans is to fire the coach, and that also isn't coming right now.
Good stuff, Jeremy White, WGR in Buffalo. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Colin.
Download the Football Fix every day. Visit the Herd page at ESPNradio.com.
Whoa!
Here's one for the road.
You think we need one more?
Nah, better make it two.
All right, we'll get one more.
Two for the road in the Herd.
A German man, this is great, a 22-year-old German journalism steward, was mooning people at a railway. The train was departing, and they had kicked him off. He was upset. So he mooned the train. But the problem was, his pants got caught on the train going by as he was mooning them. And he started traveling at an accelerated speed down the tracks, dangling by his pants. He was pulled the length of 2 football fields, all the while managing to keep his legs away from the wheels of the train. It's a miracle he wasn't badly hurt, said a spokesman. That sort of thing can end up killing you. He was okay. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa police have arrested a man for public intoxication after finding him huffing or inhaling compressed gas inside of a Walmart. 20-year-old Jared Greer in a restroom stall with a handgun on his lap, 2:30 in the morning Monday, was inhaling compressed gas inside a Walmart. He was arrested on several charges, resisting arrest, consuming an intoxicant in public, and larceny from a retailer. By the way, what is compressed gas? What exactly is that?
Like whippets.
Like computer cleaner?
Yeah, like computer cleaner, whippets, you know. You're not supposed to suck in. Nitrous, gas, you know.
I get it. Two for the road.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. For more of the best that ESPN Radio has to offer, tune in from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern for The Herd with Colin Cowherd on ESPN Radio and online at ESPNRadio.com.